Welcome to NFP, the Non-Fungible Podcast, with your host, Dee Klein. Hey, this is NFP, the Non-Fungible Podcast, with me, Dee Klein. Today's episode is brought to you by the Koi Network. Koi makes minting NFTs super easy and inexpensive. Just drag and drop your file using their NFT wallet, Finny, and Koi takes care of the rest. Minting costs as little as 1 cent, so you can create as many NFTs as you want. And when they're viewed by other people, you even earn Koi tokens that you can use to fund your next series. Check it out at koii.network. Daniela Atfield. Daniela Doodles. Welcome to NFP with Dee Klein. I'm glad you could join me today.
Thanks for hosting and having me.
Yeah, very excited absolutely. To chat to you. Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting season in the NFT space. You know, we've kind of had our ups and downs, I'd say, overall right
mostly
now.
Mostly downs.
Lately. But I mean, I'm looking at you and you're still creating. You've got stuff out. I think there was just a piece out on Maker's Place recently you were talking about.
Yeah, I did an animation. My first proper looping GIF animation.
Is that the first one?
Yeah. I've done others, but they're all fairly basic. This one's it doesn't stop and start so much. It's kind of more smooth.
I see what you mean. Like it's a smooth loop. You don't know where it begins and where it ends. That's tough to do. What was your trick? This is, I'm assuming, using Procreate on an iPad Pro is my guess.
Yes, that's correct. There's actually a nice animation tool. So I just had to make sure that the fire moved at different points, starting and ending throughout the maybe six or seven frames. Then so that they don't all start at the same, you know, frame one and end at frame seven. Otherwise, you can see where it ends. So then I had some of the little streaks starting at frame three and ending at frame two. And then,
can you explain this animation tool you used?
Procreate has it. It's called, they have like an animation assist tool. Okay. You can find it on the settings. Mm-hmm. And then it just has the frames for you at the bottom, so you can click through them easily. And then you can see it has like a transparent layer. So you can see what your previous frame looked like and then kind of draw on top of it to see where it continues, which is really helpful.
Right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And so just to get it to be like nice and smooth though, like what's the goal? I mean, how does that happen?
Well, I just drew it by hand and tried to sort of see where it would visually go. And then you keep it fairly close to the frame before. You can't have it too different, otherwise then it's kind of not as smooth.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty much the only app I use for drawing now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Are you doing physical work much at all? Or I mean, you've been purely digital since like 2018 or so, I'd guess.
Yeah, when I do physical work, it's mostly just for fun so that I can make decorations for my own house.
Okay.
I used to do physical only, and then I got the iPad, and I love the iPad.
The thing about the digital that's so nice, like as I was actually saying this to somebody a couple of weeks ago, was, oh, you know, I think I want to get back into making some physical pieces. And then I'm like, okay, but then I got to go out and buy canvases, and then I got to buy paint. I got to find a space.
And then your pencil runs out, like runs down. You have to buy another one. You and can't do your drawing unless you have the pencil.
And it smells. And am I being a wimp here? I don't know. I sound like a
wimp. Well, I think we just get used to the convenience. Like me as well, you're like, you know, it's harder to draw at night because then the light is different and it changes the colors of your drawing. And you have to angle it in a specific way.
Right.
And also it's hard to transport it because you've got thousands of pencils. So this, you know, at least on the iPad, you've just got the one pencil. It's always the right light.
There's no cleanup. Easy. For me, my favorite part of it is there's no cleanup.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. Yeah, I mostly draw with pencils. I don't paint so much, but when I do paint, I don't like cleaning up. I'm messing on everything. And nearly drinking my paint water if I have
Right,
tea
I've done that a
next
couple
to
of
it.
times,
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, exactly. Put your paintbrushes in your tea or whatever.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's...
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if I were to do it, I still do think I will, you know. It'd probably be acrylic. Just because acrylic, you know, has that immediacy to it.
Yeah, I struggle with painting. I get frustrated.
Oh, explain.
Well, with watercolor, I don't like that the previous layer washes away if you work too hard on it. And then,
I get you, yeah.
like, it's such a process to go through all the different washes and different. Oh, also, you have to prepare the paper first, which I'm
Yeah.
too lazy to do.
Exactly.
So I always just start painting and then the paper goes wrinkly. But yeah, no, all the layers, we have to go light, darker, 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 darker. I always kind of work. I don't work like that. But yeah, watercolor doesn't work for me well. And then acrylic dries too fast. So it's like the opposite problem because then I can't blend anything because it's already dry. So
Oil.
I've
Why
given
not
up on
oil,
painting.
Daniela?
I haven't tried oil because it's so expensive to get a whole lot of paints and then I don't like it. So I have to try.
Are some actual
I'll have
kind of
to visit a
cool.
friend.
Yeah, there's this. I saw this a few years ago. It's not a new thing. I've never really used it much, but it's like a walnut oil paint that dries.
Nice.
It dries in a. It behaves differently from traditional oil paint, and but it has some of the benefits of oil paint. Yeah, I
Okay.
don't know. I find the difficulty with me with oil is that I'm impatient, and then I don't, you know, I don't like that it takes so long
Wait
to
for it to dry.
dry. So then
Yeah,
I
I
have to
think
buy.
that's probably going to be the same issue with me.
So then what you got to do is you got to buy like a rapid drying medium. Like for example, you can buy something called cobalt medium, just an example.
Okay.
And what it will do is it'll speed the drying, but then you're like, okay, why don't I just use acrylic? You know what I mean? Like
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
it's, and you
Yeah.
know, it's a toxic chemical. Like you're needing
Inhaling it
ventilation
all the
for
time.
it. And yeah.
And
And
then
so
it's
then
just too
it's
much effort.
right. So I think that
Yeah.
the digital
Imagine the like old artists had to hear us, the
moaning about.
professional. Exactly. They're like, what
Well,
is wrong with these people?
that's where digital is nice, because I mean you just can be kind of lazy and you can kind of play with the effects more and you can layer things
I
and
love
I
the
don't know.
layers. And
Yeah,
then I
you
don't
just
leave
throw.
pencil marks that I have to erase on everything.
Yeah.
And then they're never quite erase and you have to cover it up. I love
Well,
digital.
you have a very clean style too, though. So, like, I suppose in your case, you really want that to be cleaned up, whereas some other artists don't necessarily care about whether that's cleaned up.
Yeah, no, I clean up. And even with my lines, a lot of the time I'm kind of backspacing and undoing ones and I make the lines perfect. So that's also very helpful for me.
Have you ever accidentally like used your two fingers on like a piece of paper to try to
Oh, it's
undo something?
always doing.
You
Oh, my two fingers?
know how you
Oh,
erase with the
yeah.
iPad?
No,
You
yeah.
tap
No,
the
I
two
haven't done
fingers.
that actually, but I try zoom into things. And then, yeah. No, I was thinking about when you're talking, I thought you were talking about when you move the image on Procreate and then you draw lines on everything when you're trying to
Yes.
move with your two fingers. I do that all the time. It's so annoying. So that's my complaint for digital work.
But it becomes a muscle memory thing, right? So,
I'm still drawing
yeah.
lines on everything. I don't know what it is that I do. When you're trying to zoom in and out or move your canvas and you like draw lines with your fingers. I don't
Oh,
know.
you can
I think
disable
I'm.
that.
Can you? I need to do that.
There's an option in the menus for that. I forget what it's called, but you can disable it
I'll
so that
have a
your
look.
fingers don't draw.
Oh, good. I'm gonna do that as soon as we finish our
Yeah,
conversation.
yeah,
It's
yeah.
been frustrating me.
If you just Google like I wouldn't I did it like immediately because I was drawing all over it with my fingers.
Yeah, no, I have been doing that
It's
for 3 years and didn't know I could turn it off.
it's one of it's an option in Procreate. You can disable drawing with your
Oh,
fingers.
fantastic. Amazing. Okay, so now you can do your animation. I can disable my finger painting.
Yeah, no, I've done lots of animations. I was just curious if there was some angle that you had that I didn't know about. Yeah,
No,
so.
obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah. I
mildly, yeah.
I find with animations, there's a tedium to it that I don't enjoy as much.
That's why I haven't done many of them.
We're both, sounds like we're kind of lazy people, Daniela.
Yeah, it know. Does. It really does. Oh, no.
Well, for me, the art has to be fun. It has to be something I'm just enjoying. It can't feel like work, or else forget it. I don't want to do it.
For me, art is kind of like meditation. So it can't be frustrating, because then that ruins the point for me, which is to relax.
Exactly.
Very relaxing. It helps me a lot. Yeah, so then if it's frustrating, it ruins the point.
Totally. And that just that sense of loss of time, like where you can just like look up at the clock when you're done doing something, being like, what, I was doing that for 2 hours? Wow. You know what I mean?
It's great. Yeah, it's great. The only reason I know that time is passing is because sometimes I'll listen, like I'll either listen to music or audiobooks or watch TV. Sometimes if I'm drawing, usually music, but then, you know, the music's progressing and you've finished your playlist. So you're like, okay, well, that must have been, the time is passing.
Right. Yeah. No, I can't watch TV while I'm drawing because I just tune it out entirely. I don't know what's going on the TV. Yeah,
I like having something auditory happening.
Yeah, music is good. Yeah, I like music.
Yeah, music, audiobooks. Sure. Audiobooks make me sleepy, though. So I generally
audiobooks make you sleepy. I mean, I hear of people reading books making them sleepy, but audiobooks make you sleepy.
I'm good at reading books. I've got all my books behind me. But audiobooks, I think, because their tones are like nice and regulated, they just make me fall. They make me sleepy. And then if I listen to them before bed, they always make me fall asleep.
You just have to choose a narrator, because usually there's options, right?
Yeah, they are, but they're all, I think they've got nice soothing voices a lot of the time.
Okay.
And even, yeah, I don't know. I've been listening to Lord of the Rings, and Andy Serkis is
That'll narrating. Put you to sleep.
Yeah, that's the problem. And Andy Serkis is so fantastic. You know, he's
listening
Gollum.
To like those elvish poems that go on for pages.
And then in the audiobook, they have to sing the songs, of course. So that's kind of awkward, because it's just
one person singing,
it's like singing a song acapella. By themselves. Yeah,
exactly. Andy Serkis is doing that on the audiobook.
Yeah,
audiobook?
No, he
really?
Does it. He does the audiobooks fantastically, but it doesn't change that it's still very descriptive. I struggle with it a little bit, but it makes it much better than reading it.
I remember as a kid reading Lord of the Rings and being like, okay, I'm going to read this. And it's just massive. And there's whole sections I remember just skipping because it was like, I don't need it. You know?
Yeah. The first one, you know, because it's split into three. It's just them walking through the forest and eating second breakfast, you know, which is great. But also, like, I know that they're in a forest. You don't need to describe the trees so much and the food. Yeah. It's still good. I'm sure people are going to be cross with me. There's the diehard Lord of the Rings fan. I respect your endurance.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, it sounds like we're just easily distracted and a bit lazy.
A little ADHD, maybe.
Definitely something. Yeah, I have to keep busy.
I wanted to ask you about... this artist I had on the week before, he goes by the name Threesomes, and he creates art that's usually to do with like collectible cards, like sports cards, but then he kind of makes fun of things via those cards. And he is very, very clever, and I love his sense of humor, but he's very clever with the way he uses NFTs, and he has like burning mechanisms and elements to make the cards more collectible, and you can trade in the cards for different cards, and you can have the cards be altered in different ways. And he's really into the technology of NFTs and using that as a means to like be more engaged with his community and to actually change the art itself sometimes through that mechanism. And one of his big arguments is that there's a lot of people in this space, artists, who really have no business using NFTs because they don't really use the NFT technology. Now, maybe I'm putting words in his mouth. You'd have to listen to the episode, to hear how he talks about it. But I was curious to hear your thoughts on that, because I know you have pretty much been similar to me, just using the NFTs as a means of getting your art out there and available to people, you know, and it's a way of making it available to people to purchase the art and have
your art be in their collection. So I'm really curious about your thoughts on that whole NFTs should have utility or else they shouldn't be NFTs, I guess, argument. Quick update here on what's going on at the Koi Network. Koi's new task templates are live and ready to use. These templates streamline and advance Web3 development by standardizing dApp design. They only take 5 minutes to deploy, and it's all in JavaScript. Task templates catapult Koi into the $480 billion cloud computing market, competing with services like Heroku, Vercel, and AWS Lambda to offer the same services at a fraction of the cost. Unlike those options, though, Koi delivers superior security and is more resistant to malicious attacks because of thousands of nodes in their network. With over 1,000 downloads in the last 2 months, projects are already embracing Koi's task template. You can learn to create your own task by heading to the latest blog on their website, blog.koi.network. That's blog.koii.network.
I think like with anything, there's going to be a lot of different people doing different things, and that's what makes it interesting. And I think it's amazing that he can do that. I don't know how at all. And coding is not something I can do. I'm still grateful to this space and having a place to put my art, because it, you know, digital art doesn't really have anywhere else to sell where it's authentic, unless you make prints, and then there's the shipping, and then, you know, that, yeah, it's it can be a lot in terms of administration, and also in terms of, you know, making all these products that you then have to organize. So I guess as an artist, you always need other skills as well. You have to be good with social media or administration or coding, which is the one I can't do. So yeah, I think the space is, it's so nice that it can be inclusive for lots of people, and it allows us to have an audience that is international, and it's just, it's a really wonderful space. But I think there is still place for people who do art that is not utilizing the NFT technology. You know, like with everywhere, different people do different things, and it makes it interesting to have different things.
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole blockchain space to me is about freedom. It's about using it in the way that works for you. And I find it always interesting how people get tribal about stuff. You know,
yeah,
it's like, I'm, isn't the whole point impressed of it that you can go any direction you want to go with this stuff? That to me is,
I think that's, I kind of like the decentralization and having the freedom. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice that, I think it's, yeah, it allows for more people to experiment and to try new things. So I don't know, maybe I should try some coding and see. Don't think I'll be good at it.
That would be cool, you know, like,
that would be cool,
you know. If you had elements like where if people burned, you know, a few, then they might get a unique one of yours or things,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I just don't know how, but I'll ask my boyfriend is a coder, so I'll ask him.
Okay.
Maybe,
well,
we
you
can
go. You've
collaborate.
Got an inside track. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, he's great at it, but that's also how I know that I don't think I'd be very good at it, because I've seen him doing work and I'm like, yeah, this is really, I'll just draw. I'll go back to my art.
You, well, you can't do everything. Like, even in Threesome's case, he's not doing all of that coding. I'm sure. Well, I don't know this for sure, but I mean, he's got to have some help with it, because there's no way he alone could be doing all that. I know he is. I get the impression he works like a lot of hours on his projects. But surely he must have some technical help with it, I would guess.
I don't know. Some people are amazing with coding. And
I guess
my boyfriend's dad is.
Yeah.
He introduced me into the NFT space, and he's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. So what's going on with you lately? Are you doing the NFT NYC thing? Or are you any plans for that? Or yeah.
I haven't actually. I was going to go in 2021. But that was still with flights being difficult. I couldn't get there from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't allowed yet. South Africa is not a super popular country for travel.
Oh?
Well, I think it's just that, you know, they allow the kind of bigger countries first, like, you know, the European countries and America, Australia. But travel in general was difficult at that time. So yeah, I couldn't actually get there, even though I had bought the tickets. So I had to
Oh, really? You'd bought the tickets and you couldn't go?
Yeah, So I was trying to figure out the flying there, but that didn't work at the time. So I managed to sell my tickets, which was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I was looking
planned this year, but
I was looking at it too, but I just started, like, I've written for this company Blockworks just for 1 week now. And so far it's awesome. Love it. Written a couple pieces so far, and I've got a couple released early next week. But because I just started with them, it feels wrong to be like, hey, so
can I go on holiday?
Mind if I'm gone for a couple days in my second week with you? You know what I mean? Just didn't feel right. So,
but even so, I think it would be stressful if you're starting a new job and then kind of disrupting your newly established routine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just in the process of establishing a routine. Like, it's not even really a routine yet, you know? So my issue right now is, maybe you have this as an artist too, is letting go of my thoughts from it and just like taking a break from it. Because, for example, I've got a piece that I'm going to be working on Monday. I'm taking the weekend off, off in quotation marks. I'm taking the weekend off in quotation marks. And I did some research for this piece Friday afternoon. But because of that, now I have all my thoughts about the piece kind of swirling around in my mind. I'm ruminating about it. In fact, this morning I even sat down and wrote down some stuff, because I'm like, okay, I just have to get this down on, you know, type down, or else I'm just going to keep thinking about it. Do you ever have that issue with just like kind of taking a break from things, or?
I usually try start as soon as I have all those nice creative thoughts going, because otherwise I get distracted, and then I like it when they're exciting and they're new, and then I start and then I'm excited about my work. Otherwise I kind of like, if I write them down, I find that they're not exciting anymore, and then I don't really get to doing them, which is
okay. Unusual. See, whereas I feel kind of like at peace once I've had it written down.
I find I like the kind of excitement of it swirling around. I'm like, okay, let's go, go, go.
I get that.
So then I start working on it pretty much whenever I have those thoughts, which can be, you know, like at 11 o'clock at night or on a weekend or in the morning. Whenever I have them, I take advantage of them.
I forget, there was some study, and I don't quote me on this, but it was about how, you know, with creativity, it's often like right in that point where you're ready to go to sleep that you have those kind of creative thoughts.
Yeah, it is.
You experience that?
Yeah, I think your mind kind of, you get into a sort of dreamy frame of mind where things are just a little bit looser and your barriers are down. And I think, okay, sometimes when you're about to sleep, you start thinking about all the stressful things in the day. But when you let go of that stress, that's usually when the creativity comes. I find that when I'm stressed, I'm usually definitely not as creative as when I'm not stressed.
For sure. Yeah. Although sometimes it can be a way to kind of...
Excuse my phone.
No worries. Sometimes it can be kind of a way to, like you talked about meditation before, to kind of bring yourself down from that stress and kind of refocus. And
yeah, that's why I think that's probably how I got into drawing. As much as I do, I've always drawn since I was two, and drawing on my parents' wedding album and on the walls and on the photos and books and everything. We're very lenient about it, which is nice.
So do you like carry around a sketchbook with you everywhere you go, or?
No, now just I just let those just ideas. iPad. Just the iPad. But I'm a homebody, so I don't even go out that much anyway. I like to be at home.
Right.
Yeah, I get tired out. Introvert, I guess, definitely.
Yeah, that's a difference for me now being at home. But I like it. It's been nice just being.
Would
more
you
comfortable.
Say you're an extrovert or introvert?
I'm very much extroverted. Yes.
Yeah, if you're hosting a podcast, I think you'd have to be probably.
No, I definitely get restless if I'm not seeing people.
I was the opposite with COVID. When we couldn't go out, I was like, this is amazing. I don't have to go anywhere. I can swim in the pool. I can have gin and tonic, just do my drawing, read some books.
That could be a problem, D.
It was great. And then by the time it was done and we had to go out again, I was kind of like, oh, quite liked
it. Oh, man.
Not having to go out. Yeah.
Well, of course, during COVID, I was a teacher, right? You know, like
that must have been very tough.
Took a leave from teaching. And then we had to switch to doing everything on Zoom or Google Meet or whatever.
That must have been terrible.
Awful, man. So bad.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Not only was it that you're sitting in your room all day, you know, trying to teach these students, the bigger problem being most of them had a hard time really staying engaged with it. And you try to do fun things as a teacher, but pretty hard to keep them attentive when you could see half the time that they were looking at something else on their computer. You could tell by their faces,
you know,
that they weren't really engaged. Now, when you're in a classroom, you can deal with that, right? But when they're all in their own homes and you're looking at like 30 little screens of them, it's pretty tough to regulate.
Yeah, that does. I think teaching must have been one of the most difficult.
I was so happy to come back and teach them in person. That was so much better. And kids were happy too. Like out of a class of like 30 kids, there might have been one, maybe two, who were like, you know what? I think I kind of preferred working online from home. And often those kids were ones who did nothing. Like it was like, yeah, because you played Fortnite all day. That's why you preferred working at home.
Yeah, because you were just had a space not to do work, really.
No, I found the vast majority of them greatly preferred being in person. Like this whole thing of like, you know, AI and remote learning is going to take over and students are going to be learning online.
I don't think so.
Sorry. No. It's not going
to
happen.
It's very hard for kids to keep attentive. And I think being in person is very important for them.
It
and
is.
Also not on screens. Not that I have anything against screens. You know, I use screens for my work all day. But it's also nice for them to kind of get out into the world and see people.
Well, and again, a big part of school is learning how to be around other people. Like, you can talk curriculum, you can talk learning math, and et cetera, but a huge part of it is just learning how to be in a society.
Yeah, and I think it also prepares you for jobs. You know, the coworkers you like or don't like, and kind of learn how to deal with that.
It's totally true. Yeah. I mean, you remember group assignments?
Yes. luckily I was quite nerdy and I had nerdy friends, so my group assignments.
Oh, there you go. As long as you could pick your group.
Yes, when you couldn't pick your group, it was a disaster. But people were always it was okay because I ended up being the creative poster making person.
Okay,
so they'd say, oh, you can
like,
do that.
Hey, Danielle, like, you're good at drawing. Can you do the pretty parts of the poster?
Exactly. We'll do all the research. I'd be like, I'll do the pretty parts. You can do the other stuff. So it was great for me. And then also I wouldn't have to kind of fight with people because I'd have my very specific part that I had to do and I'd get that done and then they could deal with the rest of people not doing.
You were pretty much autonomous in your department.
Exactly. So
did you actually learn the content though, or was it just like, okay,
maybe I got good marks and everything. Okay. I studied hard and got good marks.
Yeah, different topic.
I got 100% for art.
100% for art, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Which is also theory, not just the drawing.
Oh, explain.
Is it different in America? In South Africa, you have 50% of your mark is based on theory. You have to write essays about famous paintings and, you know,
diagrams represent
movement and all of that. Mm-hmm, and then the other 50% is your practical.
I see. So, I would say for the most part, at least in my experience in Canada, it was almost entirely practical. It was almost entirely.
Oh, that's nice. I would prefer that.
Skill-based technique.
Yeah,
that is nice. Trying different media, whatever. It was, I don't remember ever writing papers in our class.
Oh, no, we had it was essay questions. We'd have finished exams, you know, with wads of thick exam papers where you've written essays and long questions.
Wow, okay. So, now, in university, I did study art history quite a bit. And of course, there would have been a lot of writing, but.
Yes, definitely.
entirely separate.
Yeah, that was also we learned about all the different art movements and everything in school.
Right. I wanted to ask you about this big X-Copy auction on Super Rare.
Yes.
With collector Basilius.
Basilius is great.
Yeah. Now, I was looking at the history of his bids, and if you go back to August 22, 2022, at 3:33 p.m., a user by the name Dreaming of X-Copy made an offer of 300 ETH on this piece. I guess the offer wasn't accepted. Now, at that time in 2022, I don't remember what ETH would have been worth, but I'm guessing more than now. I'm guessing it was, you know.
It went up a
year
bit,
ago,
I think. In August?
Yeah, it would have been what, 3,000-4,000 US at the time, maybe.
I don't think it was that high.
No, it wasn't.
Let's have a look now.
I don't know. I'm just trying to put it in context.
Because they keep saying about it recovering. Mm-hmm. So I think it wasn't so great last year.
Yeah, no, you might have a point there. If I go...
It says July, it was 1,500.
US. Okay, so it was lower.
But not by too much.
No, a little lower. It was, say, 1,500-1,600, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're talking still... quite a substantial offer at that time, 300 ETH.
Yes, definitely.
And now Basilius put this piece up. It's The Burning by X-Copy. A classic X-Copy piece. I mean, you'd recognize it immediately. Yes. And puts this piece out there, and it got a bid from, I think it was Super Rare Roses, right? Like it was the...
Yes.
I forget his name right now.
Zach.
Super Rare Zach? Is that different? Isn't that a different person?
I think it's the same person, but he makes art with his account.
Okay, I'm not sure.
There might be more than one Zach. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, made an offer of, or bid, 50 ETH. And then it says here that Boring Vault outbid Rose's Vault with a bid of 66 ETH, which is 125K US. And it looks like there's more action now. There's only an hour left on it, and there's been a couple more bids.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they usually get busy around then.
Yeah, an unknown account, like it's just a string of letters and numbers, made a bid of 75 ETH for 140K. And just in the last little bit here, while we've been talking, M Expert outbid that one with a bid of 85 ETH. So 160K US, just about. So it's climbing. Okay. There's an hour left. Definitely. It should be really interesting here in the next hour to see where this goes to. What do you think? Make a prediction now. I mean, obviously,
I'm terrible at predictions.
By the time this piece, this podcast is out, it will be a sealed deal. But I want to hear your prediction. I'll give mine too.
I imagine. I mean, the market's been a lot slower than last year, so I don't think it will get to 300. Although it does deserve, obviously, it does deserve that. But it's been slow. Maybe 150.
I was going to say 150.
No.
My guess. Okay. So Daniela's guess is 150. I'll guess. Should I do like the Price is Right thing and do 151? No.
We can both guess 150. Then we're both right or both wrong. At least we'll be able to be wrong or right together.
I'm going to guess 166.6, because for whatever reason people always do 66s and 420s, and you know, it's kind of a meme going on. And
I think it's because we don't really grow up ever.
Sorry?
We're always children at heart.
Yeah, we're very childish. So yeah, 166.6 ETH is my guess.
Okay. I hope you're right. And it's
we'll see where it goes. Yeah, I don't think, like, I agree with you. I don't think it'll break the 200 mark.
Yeah, it's been a very slow... I think it's since the war in Ukraine, that was when I noticed it slowed down a lot. I think just because that stocks.
Well, FTX certainly didn't help things.
No, that definitely didn't help.
So.
And then it affects credibility everywhere.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and I'm guessing a lot of people who had substantial ETH holdings would have lost some money in that process.
That is also true. Yeah. And also the There was another one. I've gone blank at the moment. Celsius.
Right.
Also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so if
so
you were
that
one of
was my
these
third.
big collectors with a big fortune of ETH and then that got cleaned out, it kind of
Yeah.
hurts your ability to collect.
It does.
Or
And
your
it also,
motivation.
yeah, I was just going to say your motivation is definitely not going to be so good.
Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't be good for me.
So yeah, back to you. What's going on with you right now? Like, what are you working on?
I'm working on a few different pieces, and then depending on the day, I just draw whichever one I feel in the mood for. I've got there was an artwork I released on Nifty Gateway with my friend Hernan. He's Nanny Melissima on Twitter. It's great.
Can you talk about Hernan? You mentioned him to me before.
Oh, did I? Yeah, no, he's great. He's like my family. It's so nice with the NFT space, bringing people together from all over the world. So he helps me a lot with my work and, you know, advice. He's more of a collector and he works for Maker's Place.
Mm-hmm.
So
is that Hernando Ortiz? Is that correct? Is that who, I'm
yes,
thinking of
yeah,
the right
that's
person?
him.
Yeah.
That's him. Yeah, so then I'll send him pictures of my work and I'll say, what do you think of this? Should I change anything with this? And usually he's just very supportive. It's just amazing. It's amazing.
We need that. We need people.
Which
like
is
that.
Also very nice. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, so then we did a work on Nifty Gateway with him curating. And then we're intending to do another two artworks in that series, Dreamland series.
Okay.
And then if you collect all three of them, you get a free NFT from me.
Okay.
Extra exclusive drawing.
So you are using the NFT technology to, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was his idea. So he's the one really using it. I'm just being scatterbrained artist.
Right. So
which
he's an NFT
actually,
curator
actually.
There. He's one of Nifty Gateway curator.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. He also works for Maker's Place. So he's got lots of different places he works and ideas.
Right. And so can you remind me then, say, when are those pieces coming out? I don't know if I caught that.
We haven't made a specific time, but the last one was released about 3 weeks ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
So probably within the next month or two.
Okay.
To keep
and these
them
pieces
together.
Are finished? You're done these?
No. Not, well, I'm in progress of doing them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, animal-based is the one. I love animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I haven't decided on the other one.
Okay.
But the animal one's nearly done.
Okay. And I'm assuming this is in your, like, kind of trademark style, the neon kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, neon lines.
Yeah. Cool. Maybe you can talk to me about your hopes. You know, what do you think is going to happen here over the next year or two in the NFT space? You know, obviously it's come down a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it will hopefully start picking up again.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at, you know, the graphs of cryptocurrency, they go up and down, but they consistently have been going up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with the dips, they still rise. So I'm hoping it will slowly improve and grow, and also grow stronger, you know, after the difficulties. It's also nice in a way that it has had this slower period, because then all the money grabbing collectible projects have kind of slowed down, which is
they've
nice.
Been filtered out.
Yeah. And then the in a way, like, artists, you have to really be very, you have to really like the space to stay, because it can
mm-hmm.
be very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, because it shouldn't be about money. Or I mean, obviously if you're an artist, you need to make money
well,
to
yeah.
survive. Eating is nice. But I think it's not about the so many people have asked me since I've been doing this, you know, oh, how do you get started? How do you? And I initially explained to a lot of people and guided them through the whole process of doing it and creating work, and none of them did it. And people are still asking me, you know, NFTs, how do I make one? Like, there's this lovely article about how to do it. There's some great YouTube videos. Let me know when you've minted one. And yeah, that's better, because they don't actually do it. Anyway, point being that it's nice to
well,
have
it must be
very
easier.
Motivated people.
It must be easier now, because I had the same experience where, you know, when the market was really hot, you know, everybody was like, oh, hey, can you help me with doing NFTs, blah, blah, blah. And we'd go through the whole process and set up wallets and stuff. And, you know, like you said, most of them never actually took the plunge. And then they'd be like, oh, it's too hard to make money from. Yeah. It's like, well,
it's not. Yeah, it's like everything else, but you have to work at it.
It's work.
Exactly.
Or so they'd post a couple pieces and they wouldn't sell, you know, and it's like, well, you have to establish a presence. Like you have to.
Yeah, exactly. Social media every day, multiple times a day.
Right.
Exactly.
So although I haven't been minting out near as much lately, I used to mint just about daily. Now I don't.
Oh, well, it's okay. I think you probably would have gotten burnt out anyway if you kept up that rate.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still draw lots, but I just don't mint at all.
No, yeah, that's also good though. You don't need to mint everything.
Yep. So, hey, well, I'm really glad to finally have had the opportunity to actually just talk with you about you and you know, about what's going on in your world. And yeah, I look forward to seeing this work you have coming out on, you said Nifty Gateway is kind of the next big thing.
Yeah, Nifty Gateway.
Right on. And yeah, we had talked about the possibility of actually talking with Hernan on the show as well. Maybe that'll happen in the future.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I'm sure he'd be happy to.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Daniela, so much for spending this time talking with me.
Thank you for inviting me and for chatting.
Absolutely. Right on. Have an awesome day.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of NFP with D. Klein, please like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Thanks again for listening to the Non-Fungible Podcast. See you again soon.